Last time I spoke, I actually spoke on God's wonderful provision. And also our weakness of moaning. And used comparisons of the children of Israel in the desert and then moaning about it was better off in Egypt and God providing that manna. And something was telling me while I was thinking about preaching for today that I needed to speak a little bit about it again. I don't know why, whether it was because we have some different people in the morning services to the night service, I don't know. But somebody was telling me that I had to put something else onto what I was preaching. And that's the lasting effect and how it can be claimed by each of you. You might be thinking, well, what's this lasting effect? What's this that can make a difference in God's provision in my life? Well, this morning I gave you a clue when we started as to what I might be including in the actual preach. And it was in that first chorus. A little bit of two words that I'm going to be talking about this morning. Now, who's good with Hebrew words? Yeah? Yahweh, you remembered the word from this morning. Well, I'm going to be using that word and another little word at the side. Now, my pronunciation might be slightly different to how it should be, but I'll try my best. It's Yahweh Yireh, and I'll see whether I've got that right. Technology, it's wonderful. Turn that volume up there.
Yahweh Yireh.
Yireh, there you are. Yahweh Yireh. Those two words I'm going to be using this morning. Now, the first word you might know a little bit more about. Any ideas of what that word actually means? Now, there might be several different translations of that word, but any ideas? I am. Well, that's the word. That's the translation that I'm actually going to be using. I am. Some say God's name, but more often it's referred to I am. Linking it with that second word, and it can be translated as I am. Provider. Seer of all. Now in Scripture, those words are mentioned. And I'm going to be looking in Genesis 22, verses 1 to 14. Well-known Scripture. I nearly touched on this actual scripture last time I spoke, but I left it out. Sometime later, God tested Abraham. He said to him, Abraham, here I am, he replied. Then God said, take your son, your only son, whom you love, Isaac, and go to the region of Moriah, sacrifice him there as a burnt offering on a mountain I will show you. That would have knocked me for 10. Then goes on with the description of that particular incident. Early the next morning, Abraham got up, loaded his donkey. He took with him two of his servants and his son Isaac. When they had cut enough wood for the burnt offering, he set out for the place God had told him about. On the third day, Abraham looked up and saw the place in the distance. He said to his servants, "Stay here with the donkey while I and the boy go over there, and we will worship, and then we will come back to you." Abraham took the wood for the burnt offering and placed it on his son Isaac, and he himself carried the fire and the knife, and the two of them went together. Isaac spoke up and said to Abraham, "Father." "Yes, my son," Abraham replied. "The fire and the wood are here," Isaac said. "But where is the lamb for the burnt offering?" Abraham answered, "God himself will provide the lamb for the burnt offering, my son." And the two of them went on together. Son didn't question his father. Something I noticed there. Son didn't question his father. When they had reached the place God told him about, Abraham built an altar and then arranged the wood on it. He bound his son Isaac and laid him on the altar on top of the wood. What would have been going through Isaac's mind at that point? Then he reached out his hand and took the knife to slay his son, but the angel of the Lord called out to him from heaven, "Abraham, Abraham." "Here I am," he replied. "Do not lay a hand on the boy," he said. "Do not do anything to him. Now I know you fear God, because you have not withheld from me your son, your only son." Abraham looked up, and there in the thicket he saw a ram caught by its horns. He went over and took the ram and sacrificed it as a burnt offering instead of his son. So Abraham called the place, "The Lord will provide." And to this day it is said, on the mountain of the Lord, it will be provided. That's read from the NIV, but if you look in the older translations in King James's, uses the second word which I mentioned, provider. God's provision is greater than each of us can imagine. Greater than each of us can dream. Greater than you could fill in the blanks. What an intense situation this was. Firstly, for Abraham, as he responded to God, in the first part of this reading, where God said to him, take your son and sacrifice him. What kind of response would we give in a similar situation? What kind of response would go through our hearts? Would we just get up the next morning, get prepared, collect that wood, load it onto, well, it'd be in the back of the car now, then go get your son? And say to your son, we're going on a trip. I've loaded the car. I've got the fire. Got a few mates in the car as well. They're going to help out a little bit. Set off on the journey. Yeah, Dad's going to make a sacrifice today. I can see the wood. Yeah, got that. He's got the fire. Yeah, got that. He's forgot something. He's bound to have forgot something. Yeah, there's something missing here. Don't know what it is yet, but there's something missing here. They're on the journey. They know to where they're going. They arrive at the destination, or can see the destination close by. But the rest has to be taken by foot. So they get the things out of the car, or the donkey as it was then. Get ready for that short journey. Yeah, he's got the wood, got the fire. Yeah, he's forgot something. He's forgot something. Dad, you forgot something. The Lord will provide. Okay, fair enough. Let's carry on then. The preparation. The preparation of the altar. Of that, ready for that burnt offering. The wood prepared. And then Dad turns round to Isaac. Come here, son. He binds him. Places him on top of the altar. And by this time, Isaac's probably thinking, this ain't quite right. I'm a little bit concerned now. But the angel of the Lord speaks out to Abraham. And just as before, Abraham responds, and the provision is made. Do you know this kind of provision? Do you know this kind of sacrifice? Do you know this kind of God? I'm not speaking of a prosperity gospel, but I'm speaking of a living gospel. Something that can be alive, present in each and every one of us. That constant power not something which is just turned off or on when required. It's a constant. That provision which is adequate for the situation. Unlike when, for example, I was doing this little job at the weekend yesterday, where I had to get numerous different power tools out to do different jobs. This provision, which comes from God, is a provision which satisfies every situation. A provision which is a reality. It's a reality now. It's a reality at this moment, at this time, in this place. The question is it a reality in your life? Is God's provision a reality at this moment, at this time, in your life? If it's not, then you're seriously missing out on the God which I know. The children of Israel, as they ventured on their journeys, to me, the reason why they were moaning and groaning was this: they were seriously missing out on God's provision, even though it was staring them in the face. Even though God was willing and able to meet in every situation they came into. And that's just as it is in each of our lives. God's provision is there now, here and present and living for you and for me. It's ourselves that simply want to try and do it by ourselves. And we're missing out on some serious good stuff without God's provision. I am provider. Two little Hebrew words which mean so much, but need to be a reality in each of our lives. I am provider. When you wake up in the morning, when you have that first cup of tea or coffee, think God. Think the words, I am provider. That day when you think those words, at the first light, at the first dawn, that day will be a different day for you. When you go to work or do whatever your daily tasks are, and the things that come before you, think of those two words. I am provider. It's actually three words for us, but Hebrew break down to two. When the working day is over, or whatever tasks you do through the day, and you sit down for the evening meal, you recline, maybe watch a bit of TV. Think of those two words. You'd be thinking in Hebrew for the two words. I am provider. When you go to bed in the evening, and you lay down at the end of the day, before you go to sleep, think of those words, I am provider. What a difference that would make in each of our lives. To know the reality that God, that our Father is a constant. It's not just something you turn on and off. It's a provision He's made for you. Those few words, I am provider. Amen. Amen.